And we're going through the Sermon of the Mount. We finished up the Beatitudes, and we're continuing on in Matthew 5 and verses 17 through 21, or was that last week? That was last week, 17 through 21. We are on verses 21 to 26 this week. So let's bow our heads in prayer today. Father, thank you so much for your presence today. And as we open up the word together, teach us, Lord. We want to understand what you were saying when you taught your disciples the Sermon on the Mount. So Holy Spirit, teach us today. And we thank you for that. Amen. So what Jesus was teaching when he started sharing the Sermon on the Mount was, he was teaching his disciples the application of God's laws. If you remember last week, our final scripture, Jesus was exhorting his disciples and the people that their righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And I'm sure the people wondered, how in the world are we going to do that? Because the scribes and the Pharisees were known for keeping the law. There were 613 commandments in the Old Testament, in the Mosaic Law. We're familiar with the Ten Commandments, right? But there was more than that. There was 613 when you go through the scripture. Well, what the Pharisees did was they added laws onto the laws of God to make sure that you kept the law of God. So they had this extreme system of all of these rules and regulations that they put on themselves that they had to keep to make sure they didn't break God's law. For example, on the Sabbath day, they were to keep the Sabbath day holy, which meant they were not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. Wouldn't that be amazing if we had a Sabbath day that we actually kept where we didn't work? What would that be like? Does anybody do a little work on Sunday, on Sabbath day? Well, you couldn't work, and so they actually divided that law into 39 separate categories of what work meant. And so there were literally thousands of sub-rules that they attached to what God had commanded them not to work on the Sabbath. And so it even went as far as how many steps you could walk on the Sabbath day. Think about that. How many steps you could take and how many letters you could write on the Sabbath day. And one of my professors said, even today there are many that follow it and they've added to the law and they have to tear their toilet paper the day before the Sabbath so they're not working at tearing toilet paper. You see, this is how extreme they were. And Jesus, he wanted to teach people about the spirit of the law and what God actually intended for the law to be. So you're going to hear as we go through this next part of the scripture that Jesus will say, you have heard that it was said. And then he'll come in, but I say to you. Now when he's saying, but I say to you, doesn't mean that he's adding his own beliefs to this. But he is explaining to the people the very intent of why God gave them the laws in the first place. So we're going to read through our scriptures and then we'll get started here. Matthew 5, 21 through 26 says, and would you like to read along with me? It should be up here. You have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Okay, so Jesus actually puts anger and murder in the same category. And as he's going through this teaching, he's dividing it up into three areas. And the first one is your feelings of anger with a person. And then he talks about a person's anger towards you, and then dealing with an angry adversary. So there's three areas we're going to cover this morning. So the first one is the feelings of anger that you have against someone else, or that you would have against a brother. And keeping this in mind, as Jesus is teaching this, everyone who is a human being was made in the image of God. Do you believe that? Yes. Ask your neighbor, do you believe that? I mean, sometimes it's hard to believe when you meet some people, right? I mean, that's probably what we think sometimes. However, the scripture says, and the scripture is always true, that we are all created in the image of God. And you might wonder, well, am I my brother's keeper? Is it that big of a deal? Do you remember in the Old Testament, that's what Cain asked God. When God asked him where Abel was, he goes, well, am I my brother's keeper? And yes, we are our brother's keeper. So if we're made in the image of God, then in some way we all have something in common. And so to hate another person would be the same as hating the image of God. And this is what Jesus is ultimately trying to say. We know there is so much hate and anger in the world. The very first family that the Bible tells us about had domestic violence. Brother kills a brother. And God showed up, right? And he released his judgment on that. But we see so much anger and violence in the world, so much needless killing. You know, just needless killing. It doesn't even make any sense. We can't make any sense of it other than it is from the devil. He's a murderer, the scripture says. So let's go on. We're just going to take a look at Matthew 21 through 22. And we're just going to break it down. It says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. That's the human court, okay? When he's talking about the judgment there, you're going to be in danger of human court judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now he's talking about God's court there. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, which means, you worthless idiot. Have you ever... I'm not going to ask. Okay. But that's a danger. You see, the scripture's warning us about that. That's a danger. You shall be in danger of the council, which is the local council. Often people will try to ruin other people's reputation, right? And they're in danger of the local council if somebody brings a lawsuit against you. We are not free to say whatever we want to say. And most of the time, we're better off if we're not saying what we're thinking. Somebody say amen. Amen. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And that's Gehenna, hell. And it is the place where the fire will never be quenched. It is the place that is reserved for Satan and his angels and those who do not give their life to the Lord. There is a hell. Now, there is a teaching that's going through different churches, denominations, that there isn't a hell, but I'm here to tell you, your spiritual leadership and teachers and oversight at River of Life believe there is a hell, and there is an eternal judgment, and the scripture says that it is where the worm never dies, but it burns and burns. And actually, Gehenna was the garbage dump outside the city gate. And they kept a fire continually going, trying to control the worms and the amount of garbage that they had out there. But it was on fire, and there were still things living in it. And that's what he's talking about. So to call someone a fool, which I know in jesting sometimes we do say, you fool, we really shouldn't say that. And I'm not being legalistic about that. Jesus said that, right? Did Jesus say it? Okay, so then there must be something to that. Because if we call someone that, remember, they're made in the image of God. Sometimes you just have to shake yourself, remind yourself that person is made in the image of God. And we're all under construction, right? We're all at different places in our lives. And sometimes we just plain irritate each other. Yes. You grow up in a family, you have brothers and sisters that just plain irritate you, right? Sometimes on purpose. But God's talking to us this morning. And he wants us to understand what he was saying. So the Pharisees, you see, they felt very self-righteous when they read the commandment, thou shalt not murder, because they hadn't murdered anyone. They didn't have any fear of being arrested and taken to court because they had not murdered anyone. Yet, they were so angry with Jesus that they would plot against him and stir up other people to murder him. So what was really in their heart is what Jesus is talking about. What's really in our hearts? So angry words and name calling reveal that a person's heart is far from God. And that is because we're made in the image of God. If we're calling people names, then our anger is reaching a level that we need to check. Because we're in charge of our own emotions. You're not in charge of someone else's. So anger leads to a whole range of emotions and actions. And anger is dangerous. It's a dangerous emotion because it has the potential at any moment to leap out of control. It leads to violence, emotional hurts. It increases mental stress. It causes spiritual damage, and yes, it can lead to murder. So anger tends to be a gushing spring that quickly floods its surroundings. You know when you walk into a room and someone's angry. Am I right? Can you sense that? And don't you just want to back out of the room because you're not sure what's going on? But it reminded me this morning when I was in prayer of of the volcanic eruption that we had a few years ago when the volcano went off. I think it was in Iceland, and the ash went everywhere. Do you remember that on the news? And they had to ground planes, and that it caused so much damage. It damaged electrical systems. It did all kinds of damage. Well, that's kind of like what anger can be on the inside of us. If we do not deal with it in a godly way, it can just build up, and then it just erupts, and it fills the atmosphere, and it spreads, covers everybody. And it's a mess that is very, very difficult to clean up. Is that true? So anger can destroy its host as well as anything or anyone against which it is directed. 1 John 3:15 says this: whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Jesus really gives us no wiggle room. Tell your neighbor, Jesus doesn't give us any wiggle room. You know, he really wants us to deal with our anger. We're all going to be angry. This is a common emotion, right? Everyone sitting here has that emotion. And anger can be used as a really good and constructive thing. Mothers against drunk driving. They were mad. M-A-D. Mothers against drunk driving. They were mad. And they formed an organization because of drunk drivers killing their children. Don't mess with mama's children, okay? Because mama bear comes out and you're in trouble. But they use their anger for something constructive. And that's what God wants us to do. He's not saying, don't you ever be angry. No. He just knows the extreme that this emotion can go to and the damage it can cause. Okay, so let's go on. And he continues with dealing with the anger of a fellow believer. Now, this is when you know someone is so angry with you. Matthew 5:23-24 says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And so the Jews brought gifts, and they're referring to animal sacrifices that they offered at the altar in the temple of Jerusalem. Especially at Passover time, they would bring a live animal to the temple. And the altar that Jesus is referring to stood in the court of the priests. And so the person would go into that inner court with their sacrifice to offer it as worship to God to fulfill the law that was written out in the book of Leviticus. Has anyone ever read Leviticus? Oh, come on. You all need to read Leviticus. Tests on Leviticus are terrible. But Leviticus, it's a very interesting book. But they would bring their sacrifices into that inner court. And what Jesus is saying is, before you come into the inner court to worship me, if you can at all, in any possible way, clear up a disagreement that a person has against you, you should do that. Now, none of us really want to jump on that bandwagon and just go and humble ourselves, right? Because we're thinking, well, they were wrong. We're justifying ourselves, taking our own side, right? You always take your own side, and you try to find people, especially in your family, to take your side. So you have this whole entourage of people agreeing with you. Jesus says, knock it off. You know, if someone has something against you, it's going to hinder you in worship. And let's think about it. They took a live animal into the inner court where the priests were. And the Lord said, you leave that sacrifice there and you go and take care of this situation. So, love for God and love for others is the most important part of our walk with God. It's even more important than the gifts that we bring to the altar. You know, God is way up here on relationship. I think that's his number one priority. Otherwise, he would not have sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to die for us so we could have a relationship with him. He is really big on relationship. He's not real big on religion. We know that because when he spoke to the Pharisees, I just want to read this passage to you, what he said. He spoke to the Pharisees. In Matthew 23, he said, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Ouch. You see, Jesus was all about dealing with the motives and the intents that are in our hearts. We can hide them from people, but we cannot hide them from God. And he is more concerned about what's going on in our heart and in our thought life than he is about a sacrifice or our gifts that we bring to the altar. You can have the ability to exercise all of the spiritual gifts, and we believe in the spiritual gifts here, but the scripture says if you do not have love, then you just sound like someone that's a clanging cymbal. Love's the more excellent way. It's the law of love that Jesus was talking about. It wasn't keeping the letter of the law. Let's go on. Dealing with an adversary. Matthew 5, 25 through 26. This is the third thing he talked about. Agree with your adversary quickly while you were on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Now, the last penny was the smallest Roman coin, and it was actually worth 2/5 of a cent. So Jesus was saying, if you end up in court with your adversary, be sure that you are going to have to pay the last penny. Now it's interesting, under Roman law, the plaintiff went with the defendant to court. We don't see that very often today, right? And Jesus said, on the way, they could settle matters however they wished. You see, when they're walking together, because they walked probably most places, when they're heading for court, because they had to go together, they could talk about this and settle it before they ever got to court. But if they didn't, when they got into the court of law, whatever the judge said is what would rule in their life. So Jesus was really encouraging them to work it out if you possibly can and don't end up going to court. Because once you get into court, especially our courts, it's ruthless on both sides to win. We want a victory, right? We want a victory. We want to win. And so it's just such a fight, and it is emotionally and financially really, really draining. However, some things need to go to the law, but Jesus is saying, hey, if you can work it out with somebody, work it out. Because you see, in that time, if you got thrown into jail to pay back a debt, if you had property, you could sell property to pay it back, or you could get a contract with the guy you owed and be his slave or his servant to pay him back, or you could sit in jail and die. Those were your options. There weren't any laws protecting you while you were there. There wasn't a kitchen cooking for you. If somebody didn't bring you food, you just didn't eat. So you were really dependent upon your family and friends if you ended up in jail. So knowing the time, it was different than today, but the spirit of what Jesus is saying is settle it with your adversary as quickly as you can. So it was practical advice to resolve differences with our enemies before the anger causes more trouble. Have you ever been in a situation and then it just, in your mind, it just continues to grow and grow, and you get angrier and angrier, the more you think about it, the angrier you get? Well, the person that you were in conflict with, it's the same for them. So it's better if you can talk it out. Small conflicts mend more easily if you try to make peace right away. And the most important point is that these verses advise us to get things right with others before we have to stand before God. So if you have anger towards a brother, check your heart, or a sister. If you get angry easily, check your heart. God wants us to deal with our anger, not repress it, not ignore it, but it needs to be confronted, right? And sometimes things need to be talked about, right? So that it doesn't stir on the inside of us. I often will counsel people in different locations on phone counseling, and I had a counseling session, and I text the person and I said, I'm going to be delayed. Sometimes my schedule just happens that way. And it's not anything I planned. I planned to be on time, but how many of you know when you're working with people, things change? And so we have to be flexible. I was not flexible in my business. I had a schedule and I was booked 6 weeks out, and don't mess with my schedule. And if you missed your appointment, then you waited till the next round because I didn't have any place to put you. And so people, like, they didn't mess with my schedule. Most of the time, did they, Sean? Sean used to work with me. Now, people didn't necessarily mess up the schedule. Sometimes the dogs messed up the schedule. But you learn to be more flexible as you go. And so God was preparing me for the work of the ministry because, you know, I have the best intentions of planning my schedule, but sometimes I have a call from the congregation, and you know my congregation is at the top of the priority, right? I mean, that's how it is. And so someone from someone else's congregation is going to have to wait. But anyway, I was gracious about it and let them know. I'd call them as soon as I could. It would probably be 15 or 30 minutes later than I had planned. So at the end of our session, the person says to me, I want to share something with you, but I don't know if I should share it. And I said, well, go ahead and share it. And she said, you know, I was very, very upset that you were late calling me. And I said, well, thank you for sharing that with me. It's important to me that you feel like you can share your feelings with me and that I'm a safe person. And I really respect that. And I said, I'm really sorry, but it was circumstances beyond my control. And she said, well, I feel so much better now. She said, I've never been able to do that. Since I was a child, my parents dismissed me constantly. My dad wouldn't look up from the newspaper when I'd go in the room. And she said, I always felt like I was too needy, needed too much, couldn't ask for anything because I just had to make everybody else happy and I had to be very careful. She said, even my grandma told me to be very careful around my mom because my mom was very emotionally fragile. And if I did anything to upset her, you know, she could end up in the hospital or something. And she said, so I just grew up in fear as a child and never was able to really express my feelings, and that carried over into my adult. And I feel so good because I told you that. And I said, praise God. Praise God. You know, that's healing for her to be able to say that. It was all about what she needed. She needed to be validated. And the Lord gave me a heart of grace to validate what she was saying. It's okay. That's okay. I said, I was kind of upset too, you know. But that's how my schedule goes. And so we need to be able to talk about things. Tell your neighbor, you got to talk about it. But you got to talk about it in a way that serves the other person. You see, where we get into trouble is we want to justify ourselves. I could have said, well, don't you know I'm a really busy person? We want to justify ourselves and defend ourselves. But, you know, I'm so thankful God taught me years ago, I don't have to defend myself. God is my defense. He knows the motives and the intent of my heart. I want to be on time and I want to keep a schedule. But sometimes that doesn't work. Isn't that right? Isn't that where we all are? So can we have grace with each other? Grace, yes. I always say I'll extend grace because I know I'm going to need it. If you reap what you sow, you better be sowing grace because we're all going to need it someday. Amen. But let's close in prayer this morning. I hope this has helped you. As you bow your heads, I just want to read this passage to you from Romans. Just bow your heads and shut yourself in that place with God as you listen to His Word. It's from Romans 12, 17 through 21. It says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, we thank you for your words of life. Seal your words in our heart and continue to teach us, Lord, how to relate to our brothers and sisters, those who are saved, those who are unsaved. Lord, give us your grace to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Jesus.